Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Jonah 3. Let's go to God in prayer.
Heavenly Father, please help us to be ready to do your will, that we will do what you tell us, that we will leave the results to you, that we will be ready to repent when you show us that we're going the wrong way. We pray this through Jesus. Amen.
Jonah 3. And the word of Yahweh came to Jonah a second time, saying,
Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the message that I am telling you.
So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh, according to the word of Yahweh. Now Nineveh was an extraordinarily great city, a journey of 3 days across. And Jonah began to go into the city, a journey of 1 day, and he cried out and said,
40 more days and Nineveh will be demolished.
And the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least important. And the news reached the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and removed his royal robe, put on sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. And he had a proclamation made and said,
In Nineveh, by a decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They must not eat, and they must not drink water. And the human beings and the animals must be covered with sackcloth, and they must call forcefully to God, and each must turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind and turn from his blazing anger so that we will not perish.
And God saw their deeds, that they turned from their evil ways. And God changed his mind about the evil that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it.
Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in.
In chapter 1, God told Jonah to go preach to Nineveh. And Jonah went the opposite direction. And then God sent a storm and a great fish to bring Jonah back. Then, in chapter 2, Jonah gave thanks to God for saving him from the storm. It isn't stated, but really it was saving Jonah from his sin of disobeying God. So now we're back to square one. But this time, Jonah has learned that you cannot run away from God. You cannot get away with disobeying. So God commands Jonah to go to Nineveh, just like before. And this time, Jonah goes the right direction, to Nineveh. Nineveh is described in verse 3 as an extraordinarily great city, a journey of 3 days across. That description has bothered scholars, so they've come up with many different interpretations. Because if you take it as it sounds, that the city is a 3-day walk straight across in diameter, and you say that a day's journey is perhaps 15 miles, that makes this city 45 miles in diameter. And of course, they didn't have trains or diesel trucks in those days to bring in truckloads of food, so how would you even begin to bring in the supplies needed for a city of that size? So scholars have suggested other meanings, such as 3 days in circumference, if you walked around it, or 3 days to see all the major sites in the city, or 3 days to make a state visit to the city. Of course, we shouldn't think of it as a densely packed city with skyscrapers like we have today. It was probably more spread out like we would think of suburbs with grazing areas so people could have animals and gardens. But in any case, it was large. Jonah starts preaching for 1 day, and the point is that he could not have preached the whole city on that first day. But after only 1 day of preaching, people started repenting. The whole city! Word spread even to the king. The king is not named. It isn't clear if this is the king of all of Assyria, or if this is just the king of the city of Nineveh. Jonah's message was, 40 days and Nineveh will be demolished, which isn't a very positive message. But the fact that he was proclaiming it and giving a deadline indicated that maybe there was a chance for repentance in the meantime. So the people jumped at that chance and really showed repentance. The king joined in by making a decree that everyone, including the animals, must fast and wear sackcloth. Sackcloth was a rough cloth that was uncomfortable, so it was a way of showing sorrow by discomfort. The king's decree also mentions turning from violence, so apparently the people have an idea of their sin that they should be turning from already. And God saw their repentance, and he decided not to destroy Nineveh.
And now for a deeper dive.
Imagine that a church today was going to invite someone to give a seminar on how to be an effective evangelist. So they're discussing who to invite. Of course, you can't invite Jesus, because when he comes back, that will be the end of the age. So, maybe Paul? He did a lot of great missionary work. He probably converted thousands of people over his lifetime. And then someone suggests Peter. Peter preached a sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people repented and were baptized. Yes, we should invite Peter to tell us how to get great results quickly. And then someone suggests Jonah. As we will read in chapter 4, God mentions 120,000 people. And that may just be the children in Nineveh, so the total number could be much greater. Jonah preached for one day, and at least 120,000 people repented. So if we really want great results fast, we should invite Jonah to tell us how to be effective evangelists. So the day of the seminar arrives, Jonah comes, and he has just two bullet points in his PowerPoint presentation. Number one, do everything you can not to go preach until God forces you to go. Number two, don't offer them any hope. Just tell them that destruction is coming. Well, that seminar wasn't very helpful, was it? How are we supposed to turn 120,000 people to repentance in one day with advice like that? And of course, the point is that it isn't about us and our great technique to convince people. Now, some people have suggested that Jonah had been partially digested by the great fish, so his shocking appearance caused people to repent. But the book says nothing about that. Besides, Jonah had a really long journey to get to Nineveh, so any temporary effects of being in the fish probably would have worn off by then. Some people suggest that there was an eclipse in Nineveh around that time, and that there were other factors at play that caused the people to be ready to hear. The book doesn't give any specific information like that, but certainly God must have been working on these people in other ways before Jonah showed up to get them ready to respond like this. The point is that when God sends us, our success isn't measured by the number of people who repent. The number of people who repent is up to God. I wouldn't even call it a measure of God's success. God is always successful. The preaching will accomplish God's purpose, either of saving people who have good hearts or of turning people away who have hard hearts. Our success is if we obey God. I think of prophets like Ezekiel and Jeremiah who suffered and worked hard and had very little to show for their effort. But God was pleased with them, and that's what matters. Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.